things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week one edition of the Bleeding Green and Gold for 2018. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And wow. You know, we were debating if we were going to do it again. But then we watched the game and we're like, well, if they're going to play that way,
might as well. Yeah. 100th Packers season starting with a bang.
Mm-hmm. What
biggest fourth quarter comeback in those 100 seasons.
Packers 24, Bears 23. And again, we say this a lot when it comes to the Packers, a dramatic fashion that they won in so many different ways. But
whew. Welcome back, Packer football.
Oh, man, it's, you know, we've talked about this before. Viking fans look at the Packers as, you know, that's our rival. That's the one that we go after. And they think the Packer fans feel the same way. But for somebody who grew up in Madison, 52 years old, by the way, next weekend.
Madison
it's
is?
The Bears. Yeah, it's or otherwise known as Dad. The Bears-Packers rivalry, you can't beat it. I mean, it just look at the stats. I think we were tied, weren't we, going into this game? And we played like 100-some games against each other. And
yeah, it's close. Definitely in the last decade or so, the rivalry has been stronger between the Packers and Vikings, with Aaron Rodgers has kind of had the Bears' number since he became the Packers' starter.
I think the Bears,
9-2
too,
kind of
slipped too.
Yeah.
And the Vikings have gotten better. The Bears got worse. But, we have I'll just give you the acronym, and you can Google it. But for those, a lot of people who live in northern Wisconsin know certain Illinois people by the acronym of FIBS. I will not tell you what that is because we want to keep the kids. It allow them to keep listening. So, but wow.
Big game, big way to start. About the worst first half you could ask for.
Exactly.
I'm sure there were a lot of people already thinking about McCarthy's job and being on the hot seat, and then.
Well, I think he definitely is. I put that on our show notes. This definitely is the season you fire your defensive coordinator and all the other changes, and you bring people in, and then you start out, and the Bears, what did they take? Was it 17-0? When they got to
I believe so.
Yeah, and, of course, wow.
Yeah, it was big time. And then Rodgers goes down, and Packer Nation is thinking, you know, great. Another season of watching a backup try to run this offense.
So what did you feel when you, not just when he got injured, but when he gets on the cart and they bring him to the locker room on the cart?
I didn't think it was an ACL.
Hmm.
Or any kind of like season ending tear.
Why?
Because it went sideways. When they landed on it, it bent sideways.
Right.
That usually doesn't tear.
I thought he broke it.
Usually a tear comes from like bending straight backwards or forwards.
Okay.
It is a bad sign, I feel, when they can walk off on their own power.
Right.
Because that means it's structural damage, not, you know.
Well, they do.
Something
they have
that
had
just
guys
causing
with broken
pain.
Legs.
But even the way he was walking on it was more pain than just uncertainness. It's when they're uncertain on it. But because when you tear your ACL, you get an initial, like, pop. You get a violent pop when it tears, and then it kind of doesn't hurt anymore.
Oh. Well, okay. I did not know that.
In the moment, at
okay.
least.
Well, and you got to wonder, too, the adrenaline while they're playing, too. I mean, just work through it. That's the name of the game. You play through pain.
Mm-hmm. So. But they put the Brett Favre Band-Aid on him and came back.
What do you mean by that, Sean?
He had a weird post-game interview, and if he had taken a couple not so pain pills. I wouldn't have a hard time believing it.
Yeah, his, Sean's mother and my wife Googled some Aaron Rodgers interviews, and she's like, when I watched his post-game interview, his voice was so high and he was acting kind of weird. I mean, at first you're like, he's got to be happy. I mean, what a great way to win. But then you realize, there might have been outside influences. And,
maybe. Maybe it's adrenaline. We don't know anything for sure. But
you can't say for sure. Well, I like your comment here, time for Overreaction Monday, because that is so true every
this
year.
This is Overreaction Monday, where we talk about how every little aspect of the game is going to be how it will stay the whole season.
For forever.
Yeah. So... yeah, it looks like we'll just be squeaking out fourth quarter comebacks for the year.
Get your rest of the year.
But yeah, let's jump into it. First,
all right,
first episode of the season, we got the 2018 campaign underway, and I think there's some stuff to look at, but there's a lot to be hopeful about this year, a lot to be excited about.
I would agree. What do you think about the play calling? And
despite the first half and I'm sure all the one-syllable words that were being directed at McCarthy through TV screens. I give him credit for the second half adjustment because they adjusted to get the ball out quicker with Rodgers. One, to beat the rush, but also to protect him with his knee. And then they also figured out a way for the line to step up and handle Khalil Mack, which they couldn't do in the first half. Mm-hmm.
How much do you think of that he was starting to wear down?
I think that's a big part of it, not just him, but the whole defensive rush. I think they kind of went for broke with DeShone Kizer in there. I think they're like, they smelled blood in the water. This was their chance to rake up the lead before Rodgers had a chance to get back in. And they had Mack in almost that whole time when he was supposed to be on a very limited pitch count for the game. So I think they used up a lot of his juice there. And a lot of the other guys, like Hicks, didn't quite seem to have the motor they did in the first half.
I would agree. Watching him, we'll talk about it a little bit more with it, but man, he looks good. Unfortunately, we got to play him twice a year, but
yeah,
he really looked good.
My big thing with McCarthy was, again, he's going, calling timeouts at the end of the half, trying to get that score to then get the ball back, but score again before the end of the half, cut into the lead a little bit. But one, it rarely works out. And can bite you in the butt really hard when we have Rodgers on the field. When you have DeShone Kizer in there, just go to halftime and recoup, is my feeling on it.
Yeah, he is stubborn. We've talked about that before. He has certain things he does. He has, if you've got somebody like a Mac that's killing you, you need to double team the guy or at least chip him and stuff like that. But a lot of times he won't. And so I agree with you. We are going to talk about. I thought it was pretty good. There was a couple of things, major mistakes as a backup quarterback, but considering how long he's been with the team, I thought he actually did okay. So,
Mike Pettine, new defensive coordinator for the Packers. I liked the way they played for the most part. I think they played with a lot more emotion than we've seen. Maybe that's reading too much into the first game, but they were flying around.
I felt that exactly. I thought they were faster.
They were missing tackles too much, but they were trying to get the tackles for sure.
It just felt like it wasn't they were just quicker to the ball. There were multiple guys trying to tackle. Sometimes they didn't, but yeah,
I'm excited to see where our defense goes with him kind of in control now. And he's such an emotional leader, more so than Dom Capers, the man up in the booth, the man in the high tower staring down on his player's chest set. Pettin's on the sideline pumping people up, telling him to go hit him in the mouth.
Was it Wilkerson we got from the Jets?
Muhammad Wilkerson,
he had a hitting the quarterback late penalty, but I think this guy's going to be good. I watched him. I actually was zipped through the game.
He's a pro bowler. He is good.
Yeah, and so he's going to help out. It's going to be more of a focus for people to watch, and so it's going to open it up for the other guys, just like Mac is for the Bears now.
Yeah, we don't have a top three guy. Besides, I think Daniel is one of the top guys at his position in the league. But, we have a lot of solid guys now with everyone on our D-line we'll talk about a little bit more on the defensive section. But you have anything else on play calling?
No, I don't. I agree with everything you said. So I think that, again, it is Overreaction Monday, so we need to be, like, just over the top happy with some stuff and just over the top upset about stuff.
Yeah. One last thing I have on it is Matt Nagy, the new coach for the Bears. I would be a little nervous if I was a Bears fan that, you know, there's a lot of hype around him, but a lot of that's manufactured hype in Chicago, where there are a lot of question marks around him. He was coaching high school less than a decade ago.
And yeah,
he seemed to run out of game plan. Like, you remember that drive, the first drive of the game for the Bears, they just marched down the field, nice play after nice play. Yeah, it was a bummer to see the season start that way, but my first thought was, yeah, it looks like every first drive we had with Hundley last year where it was scripted and practiced for weeks in advance. And then you'd go in and perform it to perfection, but then drive number two when you have to adapt to the other team.
Is he the offensive coordinator as well for the Bears? Do you know?
I believe so.
Okay. Wow. Okay. But,
yeah, I'd be a little worried about Nagy running out of ideas in the second half and just not coming up with anything new. But he's also new to the job, so we'll see.
So Rodgers was 20 for 30 for 286 yards and three touchdowns, and he sat for better part of a quarter, right? I
mean, not just sitting, he went on a little ride. Yeah, he must have been bored. But yeah, basically all in one half, he came in, hopped around on one leg.
Literally. I mean, unless you see it, you can't appreciate it. He literally was, he had no push-off. And
When Rodgers was going back on the field for the second half, I knew there was a chance we would win this game. And there was a decent chance we'd win it, knowing the Bears' propensity to choke in these moments. And Rodgers does not do that.
No. I think Rodgers is the kind of guy you love to have, because if there's 2 seconds left, he still thinks he's going to win. Where I don't want to screw up. I don't want to screw up.
Yeah, and I was surprisingly calm going into the second half about how it was going to... I was like, you know what? I have a weirdly good feeling about this.
Well, luckily, I'd been drinking since about noon, so I was gone. And
then when Rodgers had that, he slid left out of the pocket, flung it from the opposite hash mark on the left side of the field to the right side, back corner of the end zone, 50 yards down to Geronimo Allison, who catches it one-armed. That's 50 yards. Moving to your weak side on a bad, weak leg, throwing it across the field into like a 1 foot by 1 foot window for him to catch it. That's when I was like, oh, okay, we're going to win this game. And then we did. So
he did almost fumble a one play where he got, I think it was Mac, slapped the ball out of his hand. And then
he was kind of lackadaisical on that one, holding the ball low, looking downfield. But it kind of seemed to slap some sense into him as well. So
I looked before we stepped in the booth to do the podcast, and, of course, nothing new as far as Rodgers' injury. They'll let us know if he's going to play against the fight. They'll hold it as close as they can.
We'll likely figure out as far as the whole probable, questionable, all that on Wednesday, get more details later. I'm sure they'll hold on to him as a game-time decision just so the Vikings are not sure. But hopefully he's out there playing.
Well, I asked you your feeling, and then my thought when I saw him carted off, it was, man, we can't even get through one game this year after the new contract and everything. We didn't have him last year for half the year. And there's an old movie. It's called Heaven Can Wait. Warren Beatty is in there, and he's a guy who is a rich guy. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but he comes back as an NFL quarterback. It like comes back like reincarnated.
Like Field of Dreams kind of stuff.
I feel like that kind of was Aaron, just kind of went to the locker room, had his Favre cocktail.
Like Jesus. Green Jesus. It was impressive just to have the guts to come out on a bad knee and have 300-pound Khalil Mack running at you, you know.
So it was third and long, 9:19 left in the second quarter, It was a four-man rush, which really ticks me off. And that's when he got hurt.
Yeah, he kind of crumpled down and got landed on weird, and his knee got folded up on almost.
Yep.
Yeah, he came back in. Hopefully it's not a long-term thing. It could be something that lingers, or it could be something that maybe a little iffy this next week, then good after that.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't be unheard of. What is our bye, like the seventh week?
Yeah, week seven.
So I could see that it lingering at least until maybe all season. I don't
know. We'll see. Tough matchup. Another tough defensive line to match up against.
With the Vikings coming up this weekend, yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about Kizer? I'll tell you one of my first thoughts when Rodgers was getting carted off was, thank God it's not Hundley. I remember just thinking, like, at least I have hope that this could, like, you know, we could be like, oh, God, Kizer is amazing. You know, if it was Hundley trotting out there, I'd be like, maybe he'll complete a pass.
He won't fumble. I think that you could see the difference from a guy who played 16 games in the NFL the year before. And I thought that he actually he didn't play great, but I thought he did pretty good. I mean, you know, you can give McCarthy a hard time for not changing the game plan, but you can also give him credit. He was moving us down the field, and there were some things
he had a few nice throws. He had a nice pickup on third down. You just got to give him time. He's new to the system, and he's also only 22 years old. This is his second year. He showed a ton of potential in college, but you come in and get the Cleveland curse.
Oh, gosh.
It's going to be a little rough. They kind of threw him to the wolves there.
Hey, so. Mom, I made it to the NFL. Really? Cool. Who are you going to? Cleveland.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Stay in college.
It's like the quarterback meat grinder.
I felt that really, and their first drive was impressive, and then Max stripped the ball from him. And he was able
stripped,
to take it.
And then there was the interception later.
Yep.
On the hit. He was kind of hit as he
was trying to
throw
it. The interception
was
actually, it was a screen play. And Linsley didn't block his guy. He let him go too quick.
He got too aggressive. Yeah. He didn't. You have to chip for 1 or 2
there.
Seconds at least.
It would have, they were set up for it. It would have been okay.
That's a good point. Yeah, he played kind of indecisive is the thing, and that's going to happen with a young guy in a new offense. Problem is with that pass rush and the rush they were getting at that point in the game, you can't be indecisive without it coming to bite you.
I agree. Yep.
But other than that, you know, he looked okay for being in there. But I do think that the Bears ran themselves out when Kizer was in there. I think – you know, they threw everything in the kitchen sink at getting sacks and turnovers, and it worked. You know, it worked. And
but you can't blame
Rodgers
came
back.
You weren't expecting Rodgers
back. And even if you do expect Rodgers to come back, that still might be the best strategy to get up as much as you can while you can.
Yeah, I agree. They had to be feeling good. I was telling Sean that I was watching Dan Patrick today, and one of Danettes is from Illinois, and he was talking about his buddies are texting him, Bears fans, and they're like, oh, God, we're going to do, Rodgers is out, we're going to do it, look at where we're ahead by this, and he just texts after text, and then all of a sudden, Rodgers comes out, and they're like, uh-oh, no, he said it was just literally the tale of two halves of the text.
Yeah, it's not a good day, not a good Monday to be a Bears fan. How do you feel about the offensive line?
I can't remember his name. It's 64 for is it guard? I think it's a right guard for the Packers.
McCray.
Oh God, he had a tough game.
I was surprised he was the starter, to be honest. I would have thought he was the backup. He's struggled, Justin McCray, since we got him. He's shown he's been decent at guard. We've tried putting him at tackle a couple times in the past, and even tried again this preseason after McCarthy said he wasn't going to do that again, and it turned out horribly. Imagine that. But so we put him at guard where he's more comfortable, and he didn't look good for a lot of the game. He got better in the second half.
I saw you put that down, and so when I was watching it back, I was kind of focusing on him, and there's times where he just literally looks confused. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be.
Yeah, the line was moving very cohesively in the second half. They had gotten how to move figured out to pick up stunts and mm-hmm. everything that the Bears were throwing at him. But McCray, a lot of the times, was still just a deer in the headlights, mm-hmm. keeping his body in the way, hoping
right.
for the best.
Right, exactly.
So, I don't know. We might have to do something about that. But I do think they adjusted well to slowing Mack down. And Bulaga and Bakhtiari are just, they're the cornerstones of the offense. If they're healthy, we're going to score. We're going to move down the field.
Yeah, I agree. So. And they're just studs. And watch it. I don't know. Apparently, they see something in McCray that's not what we're seeing. Hopefully, he can step it up. That's happened before where they have got, they'll stick with a guy because they believe his potential.
Yeah. One thing that makes me or comforts me a little is now that we've seen with this new front office and willingness to work with McCarthy and the coaches that if it's not working out, I don't think they'll, you know, just bullheaded Ted Thompson their way through it for three more seasons and then trade him for a 6th-round draft pick. I think they'll actually go out and find a free agent or make a trade before the deadline if they have to.
Was it our last podcast last year we were talking about we need to replace Ted Thompson, we need to get rid of our
defensive
coordinator.
Worked out well. I don't know why we didn't bring that up earlier. My last thing on the O-line is we didn't get any push on the running game.
Mm-mm. We did.
What are you going to do?
Well, you get push on the O-line.
Ooh, that would be good. Geronimo Allison.
Oh, man. Kind
of, I mean, he had a lot of big moments last season. He was kind of coming into his own.
Do your thing.
Geronimo!
You started it last year.
Probably just, like, busted someone's eardrums.
Thanks, my hearing aids are going, woo.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's going to be fun to watch. I think he's kind of putting all the pieces together right now, and that's – third-year receivers, that's when it happens mm-hmm. typically for them, unless they're just the superstars. But, you know, that catch in the back of the end zone was insane. As much as you give the props to Rodgers, someone has to catch that, and that was an amazing catch to stay in bounds, fight off the receiver.
And he was covered.
Yeah.
I mean, tight.
And just all over, he's a lanky guy, but he has a huge catch radius. And we haven't had a guy with a big catch radius. Like, you've always kind of wondered, what would Rodgers do with a Randy Moss, a Larry Fitzgerald, Odell Beckham Jr., someone who you can get the ball within 10 feet of and they're going to catch it. Geronimo might become that guy, or at least a semblance more of that guy for us than Rodgers has had in the past.
I agree with you. Did you hear anything preseason-wise that they were looking at shopping Cobb? I don't know how
I think that was more of a rumor.
Okay.
Just because he's had the injury history in the past and his contract was $9 million a year. I don't think teams would have paid that much for a guy with the injury history, and the Packers have come out and said that they like him and want to keep him. So I think, I don't know. I felt like it was more off season chatter than anything.
Okay.
But who am I to know?
Well, he had a good game.
He did. He looked like the old Randall Cobb.
Yep.
He was, you know, the bear killer. He's the guy in the week 17 caught the last, you know, second touchdown. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Well, you got to give props to Adams, too. I mean, he...
All the receivers, yeah.
He had some huge catches and didn't see a ton from Jimmy Graham. But
for as much as you want to say about, you know, this historic comeback by Rodgers and, you know, biggest fourth quarter comeback, all that, you have to give props to the receivers because they bailed him out a lot. That huge 80-yard touchdown by Cobb, that was a 10-yard catch and run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
Adams
really
had a big
out.
Run down yep. the sideline where he dove in. There was a lot of effort plays. You had on that run by Cobb, Montgomery made two blocks 70-something yards down the field all around, and you had the defense stepping up. They got some big stops for us. So,
you know, I said Jimmy Graham really wasn't much for the game, but yeah. That's not unusual when you get a stud in there like that to get him into the game. It takes a few games.
It's also not unusual in a Packers offense for random guys to get targets and random guys to not for a game or two.
Mm-hmm. But this is overreaction Monday, so
it is. So we have to overreact.
We should just drop him right now because he's not going to be worth anything.
Exactly. rushing the ball. Jamal Williams didn't have great stats, but I didn't actually have anything against his performance.
I saw you put this up there, and when I watched the game over, when we needed the yardage, we were able to get it.
Yeah, he got in there, and he did the dirty work. You know, he grinded out the yards. He threw threw himself into the pile. He did. He had some really good blocks. I was happy with how he played. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know.
I agree.
No issues. Montgomery did not get as many rushes as I would have expected. Mm-hmm. Just really the two. I thought they'd use him as more of like a weapon, like how, a Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell type guy that will catch a swing pass or something like that, or how Belichick always likes to have those utility guys.
Before we move on, I know not to cut you off on talking about rushing, but before we move on to the defense, I couldn't really see a change in the game offensive calling, play calling, with the new offensive coordinator back than when McCarthy was doing it all by himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't really notice any change when they brought back from Miami. He was the coach.
Philbin?
Yeah.
Joe Philbin.
So I was, I don't know, maybe it's just a tweak here and there that they, because I don't think it's smart in today's game for a coach to be, this is my opinion, the head coach to be the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator. I think they need guys who can just say, no, I'm watching this from up here, and I can see what's going on. You're emotional.
I think head coaches shouldn't call challenges. I think they should have a guy whose job is to decide that.
I thought some teams did have that, don't they?
I don't know. Not that I know of. But if they do, good on them.
And if anybody needs anybody, Sean Reagan is your guy.
Yeah, and I'm cheap. Defense. You want to move on to
He's
defense?
He's cheap, I'm easy. let's move on to defense.
Star of the game, I thought, was Kenny Clark. That's on defense. He didn't make anything big or splashy, but he was, you know.
Well, he had a really good play where he literally threw his guy to the side and stopped a third and one.
He was just solid.
Yeah.
You know, he immovable piece in that defense. The whole defense, I think, stepped up. They had a rough first quarter, and a lot of that was where I told you I think it was scripted drives that had been just drilled in. They knew, you know, you got four receivers, but Trubisky's only going back with two read options where he's going 1-2 or run it. Mm-hmm. 1-2 or run it, because they know what those plays are going to be. Afterwards, when we started figuring them out, I was very happy with how our defense played, and I like that we were able to play man defense way more than we have been able to in previous years, because we have some talent now in our secondary.
Yeah, we got some guys you can run. If you think about it, defense, if you take away that touchdown that Mac got from that goofy interception, which sucks that it's charged the defense because of but that's what that's what you want for your defense, for the Green Bay, to hold the team to that point and let Rodgers score a few more than that.
Mm-hmm. When Rodgers was in the game, the defense held them to 13 points.
Mm-hmm.
If they hold anyone to less than 20, I can't imagine us losing many games with Rodgers under the helm.
I don't see us losing any.
Reggie Gilbert, I was excited about him going into the season. I think he's going to be good, mainly because it's Reggie White and Gilbert Brown combined. So how can he not be good?
Wow. I wonder how he gets along with himself.
That was the first thing I thought of when I saw his name.
That's funny. I like that.
Obviously, he's going to be a stud.
You should trademark that.
Trademark that. But, yeah, he didn't have a huge impact in the rush, but he also didn't make many mistakes.
Right.
And he surprisingly, on that one play that the Bears had in the red zone where Tariq Cohen had that little wheel route that he went out of the backfield and up kind of towards the back corner of the end zone, and it was Reggie Gilbert, the big 250-pound guy, running after one of the fastest guys in the league, and he stayed close enough to take away the throw. So,
good point.
I think that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of missed tackles.
Yeah, it's painful, especially now. I think they'll fix this. It's more hope than think, I guess. But when they're getting guys to the ball, and so you just get more ability to tackle a guy down. So it's the first game, but I like what I saw on that part of it. I'm being quicker on defense, getting guys around the ball. But man, there's just some just basic tackling.
Like you said, I'm not too worried about it, especially with after the new CPA or not CPA, whatever the player agreement is.
CBA.
There you go. They can't hit. They have, you know, barely any contact in training camp, in practice. They're not used to tackling. They're not used to hitting. It makes September games, at least the first two, basically preseason still.
Did you watch the Atlanta game at all?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It was horrible. Just horrible. It was like the worst preseason game you ever saw. That was the first game of the year. And I'm watching it, and it was the Eagles in Arizona. And, oh, my gosh, it was horrible. I thought this game was night and day difference between that one as far as quality of the game. So, hey, I'm fine with it.
Bryce was playing at safety, filling in. He looked good on the line. He had some good tackles, did well in the run game, did not look good in coverage.
No, and he also had one where he could have easily been, I don't know if you remember, but he pushed his guy out of bounds and slapped him twice in the back of his helmet. And I'm like, that's just stupid.
Oh, I did see that. Like, really? Almost hard enough to get a penalty.
Yeah, really?
Martinez played well.
He's good.
He played smart. He always knows where to be. My only problem with him is he plays a little softer than a guy at linebacker at his position normally would. He doesn't beat many blocks. He gets kind of pushed around. He knows where to go and, you know, when to be there, but he can't always get there, and he doesn't always have that sideline-to-sideline speed to get those tackles on the Tariq Cohens of the world.
I really feel like Matthews has lost more than just a step.
He had a horrible game.
Oh, man.
Just horrible. And then to top it all off, he almost blows the game on fourth down with a late hit to Trubisky.
Yep. And that was a stupid. He knew better.
Yeah. I think he – yeah.
He's done after this year.
I don't know. We'll see. He has a lot to make up for.
Is this his last year,
game.
Right?
His contract?
His contract.
I'm not sure.
I think so. I mean, it is overreaction Monday, so yeah, he's done. He's gone. Let's trade him now. We can get something for him. Maybe a punter.
Yeah, so we talked about before. We have a lot of good pieces, I think, now on this front seven of our defense. You have Daniels. We traded for picked up Wilkerson. We have Nick Perry, who's going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kenny Clark, who I think is going to have a huge year. Like, people will get open. Even just in the second half here, we saw Mike Pettine adjusting the defense, adjusting the blitz to get different guys open, where he wasn't just rushing up the middle like he likes to do all the time,
right.
But he was, you know, showing the blitz with the middle inside linebackers and dropping them in coverage and having the slot corners come
Martinez
up off both
good,
sides.
Yeah.
Like, I liked what we were seeing from him and how he was adjusting to the Bears' offense. That's something that was kind of bang your head against the wall worthy with Capers a lot of the time.
Well,
he would just do the same mistakes over and over.
You converted me because I was...
You used to be a Capers apologist.
I mean, yep.
Because he got you a Super Bowl.
Color me green and gold. But then also I'm looking
glasses.
At it. Well, you know, and then we talked about this in the preseason, too. It's like you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and you've got two Super Bowls in 25 years. You got to really
There's been some mismanagement there.
Yes, I totally believe.
Agreed. I was continuing on the defensive train here. I was very happy with our cornerbacks, especially the rookies. Jair Alexander, I think, is going to be a stud. It's his, you know, first regular season game, and he is just plastered to the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not intimidated at all.
No. Like, there was a couple times they got beat on a move at the line and, like, let up some space. But for the most part, they were on their guys, and they didn't let up any blown coverages, which is something we've seen with our veterans for the last however many years on a – you know, quarterly basis.
I don't know if it's just the fact that it's just human instinct when you change your defensive coordinator, but I felt like the defense as a whole, like we talked about earlier, they just seemed more intense. We used to see guys standing around. If they weren't close to the play, they would just kind of jog through until they blew the whistle. It's like, but guys were running. And that's what you need.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, and that's a lot of the Mike Pettine attitude that he's bringing to the defense and the energy.
Okay.
He's been telling them, we are no longer the Aaron Rodgers team. We are no longer the defense that has to just hold them to enough to have Rodgers outscore them. We are now the Packers defense, and Rodgers can do what he wants.
I like that.
I remember seeing that in the offseason at one point, and
yeah.
They asked Rodgers what he thought about that speech, because apparently it got the whole locker room really pumped up, and they're like, did that kind of divide the offense and defense? And Rodgers was like,
why would
what
it?
A ridiculous yeah, question. A you know, that's question. Such an off-season question. But
I didn't remember hearing Williams' name called at all.
It wasn't called, but he was playing.
He was playing?
They didn't call many of the corners' names. They all played very well. They got some tackles. They, you know, they stopped some balls. Even the ones that got through, they were good coverage. You know, they were on them. And that's going to allow us to do so much more on defense. The fact that we can play man coverage and, you know, be able to rely on our corners, and that we can play press and rely on them to get, you know, open up some more time for the rush. Mm-hmm. It's going to allow a lot of different things to happen on defense we haven't been able to do because we've had to continue to simplify the playbook and simplify the playbook.
Well, the other thing we can look at, if you can be happy with the play of the defense, they're significantly younger than they have been for years.
I mean, yeah,
we got a lot of guys coming up that are going to get better and better. So, all right, you want to talk about special teams?
Yeah, not a ton to talk about. Crosby came in, 42-yard field goal, 3 extra points, no complaints. A little bit, maybe a little bit more gray in his hair than last year, but it's hard to tell.
Hey, I like gray in the hair. Makes me think I can still play.
4 punts, averaging 36.8 yards a punt for J.K. Scott. Not great, but...
Was it me, or he looks like he's just extremely slow at punting. Like, if they can get shave a half a second at getting to him, we're going to have a lot of block punts.
Yeah.
It just seemed like...
It's not something I noticed, but
okay.
I can keep an eye on
bring it
if
up.
You like. I'll bring my stopwatch.
Okay.
Tom Montgomery had 2 returns. Valdez-Scantling had 1 return. Nothing too big on the returns.
Didn't Cobb...
Cobb returned a punt.
All the punts. He did all the punts throughout
nothing
the game.
Too big there
nothing,
either.
Yeah.
Tariq Cohen had a big punt return for 42 yards where he kind of just outran everyone. He's fast. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
You want to move into final thoughts on the game?
Sure. Sure, and then we'll kind of move into some of the scores from as we're doing this recording, it's Monday evening, and the Lions are playing. But we're going to go through some of the other results, too, because one of them that really caught my eye was the Tampa Bay game. I didn't expect that one.
It's currently 10-7 Jets over Lions in the second quarter.
Okay. All right. So,
final thoughts. Instant classic.
You know, if it wasn't Aaron Rodgers, you'd say this is going to make him. This is his legacy, but he's got so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, open up the coloring book and add this paper in because it's just crazy.
You ever watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
There's a famous part where one of the characters is just breaking down. He's yelling, he can't just keep getting away with this. I've been seeing that like past couple, like every time we have these big miracle comebacks, I'll go on the opposing team's subreddit to see how they feel about it, and that comes up a lot. He can't keep getting away with this.
I saw Kurt Warner was interviewed on Dan Patrick, and he was talking about how long do you think that Aaron Rodgers is going to keep playing. He goes, I don't think that Aaron's the kind of guy that's going to hang on as long as he can.
I don't think so either.
He's going to be the kind of guy that he feels like he can't do what he wants. Mm-hmm. His body just can't do it, or his brain can't do it anymore, and then he'll step away.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like Tom Brady trying to play until he's 50 or Brett Favre 50, trying to
50.
That's what Brady has said. He wants to be at least 45 still playing or something
45,
like that.
Yeah, 45, yeah. Based on how he did this opening game, it did pretty darn good.
But, yeah, I don't really get that feeling from Rodgers that he's going to, you know, just drive the car till the wheels fall off.
No pun intended, dating Danica Patrick. Yeah, that's funny. That's good. But absolutely has to be one of the top games for him. Coming back, carted off the field, comes back in the second half. Some crazy plays. One leg.
Yeah. Good thing it was recorded or he might not remember it.
With the Brett Favre cocktail.
He can go back and watch.
Hey,
just impressive though.
I when I was rewatching the game, they had this stat up, and it was Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, and Trubisky.
No, Trubisky.
Triscuits. A wonderful biscuit. But
brought to you by Bears Triscuits.
Nabisco. But Stafford was drafted real high and started his rookie year. Rodgers was drafted a few years before but sat because of Favre. So if you look at the 10 years that they played, Stafford and Rodgers, Stafford 60 and 65 with 216 TDs, Rodgers 94 and 48 with 313 touchdowns. That's another thing that when you look at the age of Aaron, he has less wear and tear on him because he didn't play for 3-4 years.
Yeah, it was the old school. Mm-hmm. You draft a guy and he learns from the veteran for a few years. They don't do that anymore. One, because guys are coming in more prepared than they were before, and two, because there's a lot bigger money and demand from your market to see the star quarterback you just drafted.
Well, and part of it too as well with that is that it's a set amount they pay him wherever they are drafted. So there's no negotiation. They pay him X amount for 5 years. And so you know that if they're really good, their second contract is going to be extremely expensive. So hurry up and build a team around them. Well, you can pay other guys like a Mac to come in and hopefully give you enough to that you can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Hopefully Rodgers is healthy and he's healing and Danica's pampering him. No other major injuries that I saw or have heard about. So that's always a plus.
It almost seems like odd that we're not saying that hopefully so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so.
Yeah, usually I'm trying to like update the injury list for the podcast and I'm like going between windows because I can't remember all the names all at one time. But defense started slow, looked a lot more dominant. Later in the game, I'm excited to see them moving forward. I'm excited to see this offense moving forward. I think there's a lot to be hopeful about this Packer team in general. It's going to be a crazy year.
I think
so, too. With the NFC North, I think it's a tough division. I think the NFC in general is just loaded with good teams.
I absolutely agree. And the Lions are playing right now, but I watched a little bit of the Viking game.
They look good.
And all solid throughout all phases of the game.
Kirk Cousins looked faster than I expected him to first game with him. He was slinging it around more than you typically saw him doing in Washington.
But the one thing that let's move on to the we'll do the scores and then but I wanted to say that I do know from watching him.
Let's do the preview.
Okay. That I've watched him enough when he was with Washington. Mm-hmm. He can easily get rattled.
Captain Kirk?
Yep.
Captain Checkdown is what you call him.
I'm giving her all I got.
When he gets rattled, he becomes Captain Checkdown, where everything is 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. But he was throwing downfield. He was really slinging it around yesterday. They're going to be a good team. They have so much talent there. It's going to be a huge Week 2 game. It could decide the division going forward, or at least come close to it, just because of momentum. And I know a lot of Viking fans are very happy to be getting the Lambeau game out of the way before it gets cold.
Exactly. I hate that. That's
did to the Bears
doing
too.
But the thing about the Vikings as well is that they, I used to always feel like as an organization, there was just certain holes, and it wasn't necessarily the coaching or anything. They just the general manager or the ownership. It was just dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that anymore. Whether you care or not, I mean, they really seem like the stadium and everything that they've got going on, and they've got, I feel like they got the right coaches in there, and they're going to be tough. And to me, that's exciting to be what I consider one of the toughest divisions in pro football. And so if you win, you earned it.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Bears and their rush that they were getting on us and us having to adapt to it, I'm hoping that kind of gets the guys ready for the Vikings. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to be better mm-hmm. than what the Bears brought you, even with Khalil Mack, because yep. they have more all-around solid depth. Keys to the game.
For the Vikings?
Or, sure. Okay. For the Vikings. One, Dalvin Cook is back. They got to just, you know, get him the ball, get him a workload going. He was having just great year last year. I think he was averaging 5.2 yards a run before he got hurt last year. And he looked good coming back off the ACL tear. He looked strong, was running well. So I think they got to get him going, throw off the play action to get guys open if we're playing the press. And then they got to kill our momentum. We saw just against the Bears this last game, when we get in that hurry-up offense and we get a momentum going, Rodgers will just pick you apart.
What and I think
he's basically calling the plays out there on the field, it looks like.
And that's what they had to do in the second half, because he couldn't hang on to the ball. He had to throw it away, and it's like, okay, knock-knock, Puddinghead. Yeah. That's what we should be doing.
So that's what we need to do, and I think the Vikings need to do everything they can to force incompletions, force sacks, to kill the momentum of that and not let them. Because with that no huddle, if you have a hard time getting it going, you're going to have a hard time getting it going and punting a lot of times in a row. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, one first down can easily become five first downs and a touchdown in the hurry-up offense. Mm-hmm. And a minute passed on the clock, you know. So we'll have to see. I think for the Packers, just got to keep the defense on their heels and not allow them to kill the momentum, and then play a lot of press. Give guys time to get to Kirk and make them uncomfortable.
I'm really glad that we've got at least one game that we can look at the tape and see the Vikings. We didn't start with the Vikings. So hopefully that helps us out here. All right, I'm going to bring up some of the scores that we had Sean shared with you, where the Lions are. Let's see.
Of course, Cleveland snapped one of the longest losing streaks in NFL
but they didn't
history
win.
Without winning the game. They tied the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Which, oh my gosh, for Pittsburgh, that is a loss, man. that is a loss. Another fun game to watch. Miami over Tennessee. San Francisco, really, when I watched that game against Minnesota, they lost to Minnesota 24-16. They just did not look that good. It's like Garoppolo finally bursted his bubble. He did not look that good.
It could be that, or it could be that the Vikings defense is just going to be crazy this year, and we're going to look back at that game and go, because remember, this is Overreaction Monday. We might look back halfway through the season and go, well, of course he played like crap. It was against
the Vikings
defense.
Yeah.
Jake squeaked out a win against the Giants. Did it how they won pretty much every game they won last year. A lot of field goals and defense.
Boy, their defense looks good.
It is good, but if they could just get their head out of their butts and find a quarterback, they'd be a really dangerous team.
Well, how about did you see any of the New England game against Houston?
A little bit. Deshaun Watson did not look like the dynamic player from last year that everyone was so excited for. But who knows? He's a young guy coming off a knee injury.
So I mentioned the Tampa Bay game.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Was
the
five touchdowns?
Harvard boy.
Yeah.
Slinging it.
I think he threw for four and ran one in or something like that.
48-40
over New Orleans.
I think Jameis Winston should be scared about getting his job back at starter.
I like the story I read today that Fitzpatrick said that he found out after the game that his 9-year-old son has a fantasy football team, and his friend told him, you should put your dad in as the quarterback. And he's like, no, my dad doesn't. No. And he did, and he ended up winning.
Nice. Last game I have to mention is Kansas City over the Chargers, 38-28. Kansas City's offense, with Patrick Mahomes replacing Alex Smith, they were just clicking on all cylinders, moving the ball at will. They look good for a young, unexperienced quarterback. So that was impressive. Did you see the stands at that Chargers game?
No, I did not.
All red.
Really?
The whole stadium was red. I don't think the LA even knows that the Chargers are there.
Wow. That's
so. They were posting pictures online that they're like, it was like, "Where's Waldo?" And they were playing "Spot a Chargers Fan," and it was in L.A.
Well, for whatever it's worth, Dallas scored 8 points, but lost to Carolina 16-8.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
That's an ugly, ugly game. All right, man. But by the way, before we wrap up, just to remind you that this is all brought to you by Voice Guy Next Door. That's voiceguynextdoor.com. And whatever you need, I can handle it. Right now, the big thing with voiceover stuff is e-learning. People, whether it's employees, whether it's for clients and showing stuff that you have, new products, stuff like that. Just give me a shout. Check it out, voiceover or voiceguynextdoor.com, and we'll talk about it and figure it out. So do you want to pick the who's going to win the North? Is that what you got here?
Yeah, I want your order of teams. First, second, third, fourth. By the end
are we gonna keep
of
track?
The season. If you want to.
Sure, let's keep track. Here, I'll give you this. You write it down so we can read it at the end of the
year. You mean you want me to keep track?
But if I write it, we won't be able to know. It's my handwriting.
All right. What's your pick?
You know what? Knowing that Rodgers is injured and don't know the extent, I'm going to go with the Vikings winning the North.
Huh. Okay. And then?
Packers.
And then?
Chicago. And then Detroit.
Okay. Interesting. That is the same as what I had.
Really?
Yeah. I might.
Well, I feel really good.
I wasn't sure on the Lions or Bears. I might swap them. I'm not sure. But, yeah. I think just the depth that the Vikings have, they're going to be consistent. The fact that they were able to lose their star running back and quarterback last year and not miss a beat and win 13 games.
They really knew what they were doing.
I think they're winning at least 13 this year.
Really?
I would say. Yeah. So I would pick the Packers to get in wild card.
So that means that...
And I think you might I think you might have to win 11 games to win a NFC wild card this year. It's going to be tough.
So with the two losses from the Packers... Who's their other loss for the Vikings?
Their two losses. Patriots.
All right. So Lions at 49ers. Did you want to pick that one?
Lions at 49ers?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 49ers.
Yeah. I'll go with 49ers.
Seahawks, Bears.
Seahawks.
Bears.
All right.
Vikings, Packers.
I'm going to go Packers. I think the glow is going to, if Aaron can play, I think their glow is going to carry him.
I'll go Packers. There's always crazy, weird stuff that happens in division games at Lambeau.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Packers.
Yeah, case in point.
Yeah, exactly.
So just to kind of wrap it up, we've kind of joked about it, but, you know, it really is tough because of the way the preseason games go now. They really don't get much time to get ready for gameplay. Mm-hmm. And so the first couple of games are kind of getting ready. I was happy with how good this game was with the Bears, but don't get too crazy. It usually takes about a quarter of the season, 4 or 5 games, before you start seeing a system and how things are playing out.
Yeah, it's... Football has weird storylines because they want to talk about it all week, so you need stories to talk about, but they only play 16 games a season, and it's all averages. Weird things happen in games, and weird results happen, but in baseball and basketball, it doesn't matter because you play so many, it averages out, and the good teams wind up on top.
That's a good point.
Football, anything can happen. Stories change from week to week. We'll have to see going forward. I'm excited for the year, though.
Before we go, I just want to give a shout-out to the Wisconsin Badger football team, 2-0. Of course, they had a couple of easier games, but they got a couple of things I can see they need to shore up.
It's going to be an exciting year for them, too, though.
They got some they got, like, multiple stud running backs. And then, of course, they got the grading crew that just, like, dominates the offensive line, but... just in case you can catch it out, you know, when you go out to your favorite establishment or if you watch it on TV. So, oh man, it's cool. We got back into it.
Thank you for coming back and listening to our show. We're glad to be back. It's been a been a long off season, but
and it's always harder, I feel. Like if you're a Cowboy fan or a Giants fan, there's always something in the news.
We had off-season news this year, though.
Not much.
We had way more than normal.
Like what?
All the free agents, the trades.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, with the new coaches.
The draft was a big deal.
All right, you're right. God dang it. You're right again?
I mean, yeah. Always.
Okay.
But, you know, go on iTunes, rate the show, share it with your friends. We appreciate you listening.
Really
We're glad to be here. And until next time.
Go Pack Go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, Go Pack Go!